Good morning. It's great to be with you again. It is a different way, as we've been saying, that we are meeting, but we're able to do this, and it's amazing that we can come together. So I want to thank you for your faithfulness. Please know that you guys are in our prayers, and if there's anything that we can do, just let us know. Call us, call me, call to the office there and get the pastor that's on call, whatever it would be, but anything that we can do. And we've been praying for people that have been sick. We've been praying and reaching out in any way we can. So thank you guys for all that you're doing. You are an amazing group of people. This is Easter week, so we will not have a Wednesday evening service, but we will have a Friday, Good Friday service at 7 o'clock on Friday, obviously. And then on Sunday morning, the normal two services on Easter we will have there. We'll be here doing that. Also, we sent out this week it's called Tithely, but it has very little to do with tithing, but it's a program where we can communicate. If you'd like to be on that, we send it out via email, and if you've got it and you would like to fill it out, please go back and do that. That helps us keep in touch in that way. I've come down to that my scripture for COVID-19, my passage is Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4, where it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, that is everlasting strength." So may we keep our eyes on the Lord as we continue to go through this in prayer and in unity. So let's pray for our message. If you wouldn't mind, you can turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I just feel it's good to continue as we have been going along, even in the midst of this pandemic, to continue what we would normally be doing. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Father, thank you for your word. You are amazing. And we love you and praise you and worship you and pray that you bless this simple word to us and help it go deep into our hearts, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, the message is going to be about seven characteristics of unity. Here in verses 1 through 4, I've pulled out seven different characteristics that you see concerning unity. Our nation needs unity right now. It's been amazing to watch how many people have stepped and followed the guidelines that have come down through our president. And there's been unity there. And there needs to be unity in our churches across America and throughout the world. And today, within our church here too, and our families. So I just thought it would be good to talk about unity as we see. Now, concerning unity, I found this quote. Someone had said this: "Without unity, God's people cannot experience the joy of the Lord. And a prerequisite of unity is humility and sacrifice of self." Let me say it again, please. Without unity, God's people cannot experience the joy of the Lord. And a prerequisite of unity is humility and sacrifice of self. When we go through these four verses, we're going to see the heart of that is exactly those three things: unity, humility, and self-sacrifice. And next 2 weeks from now, when we continue through Philippians, we'll see the Lord giving us the greatest example of that. Now, have you ever wondered what makes the difference between a spotlight and a laser beam? I know you guys have all wondered that for sure. How can a medium power laser beam burn through steel in a matter of seconds, while the most powerful spotlight can only warm the object? Both may have the same electrical power requirements. The difference is unity. The difference is unity. A laser can be simply described as a medium of excited molecules with mirrors at each end. Some of the excited molecules naturally decay into a less excited state. In the decay process, they release a proton, a particle of light. I know you've been dying to know all this information. It is here that the unique process of the laser begins, though. The proton moves along and tickles another molecule, inviting another proton to join him on his journey. Then these two protons tickle two more molecules. And, you know, I've just tried to picture in my mind this tickling that's going on. And two more molecules, and invite two more protons to join the parade. Soon there is a huge army of protons marching in step with each other. It is this unity that gives the laser its power. A spotlight may have just as many protons, but each is going its own independent way, occasionally interfering with other protons. As a result, much of its power is wasted and cannot be focused to do any useful work. However, the laser, because of its unity, is like an army marching in tight formation and is able to focus all its power on its object. You know, in principles of warfare, unity is one of the most powerful principles that are there. Unity is something that we should all have in our lives. And Paul knew the importance of unity. This was an amazing church. He loved them. They loved him. They were active in service. They were a good group of people, a strong church in so many different ways. Yet in the midst of his encouragement to him, he reminds them of the importance of unity. So today we're going to look at unity through humility and sacrifice of self. The characteristics, the seven, here they are. Encouragement is the first one that we will see, which builds unity. The second one is the comfort of love builds unity. Third one is the fellowship of the Spirit builds unity. And as we will see, the characteristic of affection and mercy builds unity. Then after that, we'll see the characteristic of concern for one another's joy builds unity. And the characteristic of a lowly mind, a humble mind, builds unity. And lastly, the characteristic of controlling self-interest builds unity. So unity is very, very important. So join with me, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, now the therefore is there because of what preceded the words that we see here. So therefore, he's bringing together verses, really basically verses 27 through 30. And he's bringing them together, and then there's this word, if. Now, a great translation for this word, if, would be since there is, or in view of the fact. So that makes this passage even more understandable when we take and that word if and change it into since there is consolation in Christ, or comfort in Christ. Since there is, or if, any comfort of love. Since there is the comfort of love. If, or since there is, fellowship of the Spirit. And then if, but since there is any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Because of the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. I had to ask myself as I was studying this week, is that my life? Are they these characteristics found in my life? And I pray that more so it would be that way, and I pray it would be in your life too. So the first one again here in verse 1, the characteristic of encouragement builds unity. Encouragement is a powerful thing. It could be this word consolation that we see here in the New King James is translated, as I said, into encouragement. It could be translated into exhortation, or it could be translated into the strengthening of someone in that way. And so if there is any consolation in Christ, in other words, as we see, since there is consolation or comfort in Christ, it's very important. The very essence of the Spirit of Christ is to encourage. Think about that. The very heart of Christ is to encourage us today, to comfort us, to strengthen us. Believers are to come together in one spirit, unity concerning the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants no murmuring. He wants no grumbling, no disturbance, or weakening of the unity within the church. Maybe this week has been a trying week for sure, and you said things that you don't need to say to your children or to your spouse. That brings disunity. That breaks up the harmony that is there. Jesus said, since there is this comfort, this encouragement, let's walk in it. because it comes from Jesus Christ. We are to do as Jesus has done and do everything within our power to not interfere with the unity within the church of Jesus Christ. So it is in our family, but it's the church of Horizon, the other churches overall together, the body of Christ, that we are to have unity. So we see if we are to be a good church, a strong church, a strong Christian believer, then we are to have the unity of encouragement in our lives through the humility and putting down self-interest brings this wonderful unity in our lives. Second, the characteristic of the comfort of love here in verse 1-2 builds unity. God's love brings comfort as it flows among his people, which in turn produces unity. His very love for us gives us a unity. As I've said many times throughout the years, I can go somewhere across the world and meet a Christian, and all of a sudden there's this love that is there. There is this unity that is there. Because of the love of Christ, we operate as a powerful army in unity, bringing glory to him. This is a love here being described that is selfless, and sacrificial. It is a love that goes so far that it loves a person even if she or he does not deserve to be loved. None of us deserve to be loved. But God came, for he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. Today, maybe you've just tuned in. Maybe you're just tuned in here to see a Bible study, and you have no idea what it's all about. But I want to share with you today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're missing out on a love that is amazing, a love that brings unity in people's lives. I would pray that you would simply now, even now at this moment, just say, Lord, I have a need in my heart. I know that I've sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me of those sins and come into my life. I surrender all to you. And you'll feel, I imagine, and I believe that love of the Lord. This love of Jesus is the love that he showed when he came and sacrificed himself for us. Imagine the spirit of unity that would exist within a church if members would let the love of Christ flow through them as it did through Jesus. I want to say, as an under-shepherd to Jesus Christ, your pastor, that I go through this city and I hear so often about you guys and about the love and the care and the concern that you have people within this church but beyond this church. And you are a blessed group of people. Jesus said in John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. It continues on. Paul continues on in verse 1. And he has the characteristic of the fellowship of the Spirit. Now, fellowship means koinonia, the word koinonia. As we know, it's a sharing in common of all things. The mind of the Holy Spirit is set upon unity and fellowship. In unity, we share all things. And so, as the Holy Spirit is set upon unity and fellowship, he is centered on Jesus Christ, and we are centered on Jesus Christ and on his mission for each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit attaches all the lives of the believers together, and they become one in life and purpose. They have a joint life, sharing their blessings and needs and gifts together, all focused upon the Lord and his purposes. That's koinonia, sharing in common, but focused upon the Lord in unity. There are no divisive elements whatsoever in the church. There are not to be any divisive elements within the church. No talk about differences. No gossip. No rumors or cliques. Nothing whatsoever that would tamper with or disturb the fellowship of the Spirit in the church. And so another characteristic that we have there in verse 1 is the characteristic of affection and mercy found there that builds unity in verse 1. Affections and mercy can be translated to mean tenderness and compassion. Tenderness and compassion in our lives builds unity. Compassion is the characteristic that stirred Jesus to reach out to us. And compassion drives him to keep after us, even if we are rebellious. That wonderful aspect of our Lord that we see, how compassionate he is. The point is this, though. We are to let the compassion of Christ flow both in and through us, which will keep unity in the church of Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. And so all these characteristics are important for us today to consider in our lives and to pray for. I ask that you would pray for me, that these characteristics of unity would be in my life. Humility would be there, and I would be able to put down self-interest and lift up the interests of others. Then we move into verse 2. Look at it again. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Here we see the characteristic concerning one another's joy. If joy is in our life, it will bring joy, it will bring unity in the midst of our lives. But there's a fourfold appeal coming up to this verse. And then here in verse 2, we see a fourfolded declaration of the results that you will have. First, fulfill my joy. There's going to be joy as there's unity in our lives. Paul's point is simple but direct. His joy in Christ would be fulfilled by only one thing, the unity of the Philippians. We are to worship, plan, organize, build, minister, and serve in the joy of the Lord. But the only way we can have this is to have unity in the midst of our lives. We are to be like-minded, of one opinion, as it says in verse 2. We are to have the same love, the love that God has for us, we are to have for each other. We are to be of one accord, the unity that is there. And we are to be of one mind. Actually, it means of one soul. Our very most inner person that we are is to be together in unity with each other. And then in verse 3, look at verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. I just want to slow down a little bit here because this is a powerful, powerful verse. Verse 3 we see. The characteristic of the lowliness of mind builds unity. Let nothing be done. Again, that word nothing that appears in Scripture. Self-ambition is not to be found in our life. It destroys unity within a family, within a church, within the overall body of Christ. But this self-ambition can be translated to mean self-exaltation. In other words, we want to lift ourselves up. It could be translated to strive. It could be a spirit of rivalry with another person, and we're not to have that in our lives. Some people are just going to strive no matter what, it seems. They are not mature in the Lord. They could be Christians, believers, but they're not mature, not yet. Therefore, they give in to talking about differences. We are not to do that. Truly, it's hard, but we're not to talk about differences where we tear down another person in any way. We're not to be desirous of a position that doesn't belong to us. We're not to be envious in that way, is what Paul's saying here, this lowliness of mind. We are not to desire recognition. So often in our lives, it's easy. All of us, me included, all of us, I imagine, have a desire for recognition if we do something good. It's not to be there, even in the smallest, is what Paul is saying. No opposition, because it destroys unity. People oppose each other. They oppose the work of God. And it's not the work of God, it's the work of the enemy. We're not to be jealous. It's so easy to look across the street and be jealous of what another person has. But all the way through Scripture, we see that that is not to be in our heart. We're not to love flattery. A lot of times that we want it. We say, no, but bring it on. No, loving flattery will not bring us into that position of lowliness of mind that will build unity. Envy in another person, or forming cliques. People can do that. That all of those things breaks down the unity that we have. Here we see also the word conceit. That is empty glory. It's interesting, that word conceit. This is a type of glory that has no substance and therefore is totally, totally meaningless in that way. The scripture in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 through 14, we see maybe the epitome of this conceit, this empty glory, when it speaks of Lucifer. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You talk about conceit, and he will be destroyed someday, and praise the Lord for that. Keep in mind again that someday we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. God will bring us through this virus. He will bring us through. We're going through some difficult times, they say, so we have to pray. But God will bring us through, and someday we will be with him forever and ever. The characteristic of the lowliness of the mind, it really means humility of the mind. In other words, not to be high-minded, not to be proud, not to be haughty or arrogant or assertive in an inappropriate way. A humble person denies himself for the sake of Christ and in order to help other people. And that's what Paul's saying. Be focused on these things. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 18, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God." So the characteristic of the loneliness of mind is very important. And here in that verse, at the end of verse 3, it says, "Let each esteem others better than himself." Now, this does not speak of putting yourself down, but it refers to being concerned about the needs of others before the needs of self. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I see so many people within our church that have a gift where they seem to elevate other people before they take care of themselves. And it's a beautiful thing to see. And I pray that that would be more so in our lives. It is not a false sense of humility. That's not what Paul's speaking about here. It's not a false sense of humility. This is a reality that comes about only by a true work of God in a person's life. It's a work of God. We can't manufacture it ourselves. I love that story. You've probably heard it about that Confederate general, Robert E. Lee. And while he was riding on a train to Richmond, obviously years and years ago, the general was seated at the rear of the train, and all the other places were filled with officers and soldiers. An elderly woman, poorly dressed, entered the coach at one of the stations. Having no seat offered to her, she drudged down the aisle to the back of the car. Immediately, General Lee stood up and gave her his place. One man after another then arose to give the general his seat. And you know what the general said? He said, "No, gentlemen." He said this, "If there is none for the lady, there can be none for me." What an attitude to esteem others more important than ourselves. And I pray that that would be in our lives. And lastly, we see here, verse 4, go there again. "Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others." That's what we are to do. This is a picture of self-sacrifice. It means to lay aside one's personal interest or well-being for the sake of another. How well do I do that? I'm not sure. But I want to do it even better. So we are to pray for each other that all of us would learn to control our self-interest. Very simply, a Christian believer must forget himself or herself. He or she must quit looking upon his or her own things first. His ambition is to be set aside. Her desires, his position that a person may want, all these things that we see. When we are overlooked, how do we respond to that? It's not easy. When we're being bypassed or ignored or not recognized, we're not honored for what we think we should be honored for. This is what Paul is addressing. We are to be careful to control our self-interest. Believers are to concentrate upon Jesus Christ and his ministry to people and reaching the world with the glorious gospel of salvation. We are to be outward focused, not inward focused. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's interest." So let's look at this again, starting in verse 1, please. "Therefore, since there is comfort in Christ, since there is comfort of love, since there is fellowship of the Spirit, since there is affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Then he goes on and he says, let nothing, absolutely nothing, Lord help us, please, be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness, this is the key, how to maintain this unity, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Obviously, the heart of this passage has concerned unity and humility and self-sacrifice. Question, though, to consider, are these attributes found in our lives today? Or has it been a rough week where we've looked to our own interest? Our attitude may have been a little incorrect. That happens. Happens in my life often. But pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Not an easy scripture. And then 2 weeks from now, we're going to go into verses 5 through 11. And just look at that. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it's defined as we go there through there. Beautiful, beautiful passage. I love this quote by Andrew Murray concerning perfect, which is a perfect definition of humility. He said this, humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me, when I am blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret. And I'm at peace as in a deep sea of calmness where all around are and above, around and above, where everything is in trouble. But the unity, the truly humble person is not one who thinks little about himself. He simply does not think of himself at all. I kind of butchered that, so I'm going to read it again. It's worthwhile reading. He says, humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me, and when I am blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord, where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret and am at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around and above is troubled. The truly humble person is not one who thinks little about himself. He simply does not think of himself at all. I'm not there, but I pray again that you would pray for me and I will pray for you. Again, I'd like to just say the quote that we started with. It says, without unity, God's people cannot experience the joy of the Lord. And a prerequisite of unity is humility and self-sacrifice. And I pray that we would pray for each other this week, that that would be what would be developed in our lives, because we are heading into a week where the perfect example, the complete example of Jesus Christ setting himself aside is there for us to celebrate. In Philippians, we have seen seven characteristics that build unity through humility and sacrifice of self. The characteristic of encouragement, the characteristic of the comfort of love, the characteristic of fellowship of the Spirit, the characteristic of affection and mercy, and the characteristic of concern for one another's joy, the characteristic of lowliness of mind, and lastly, the characteristic of controlling self-interest. A lot that is there, but Paul directed that to a church that it was a good church. And I believe that we are good people that love the Lord, but he wants to strengthen us in these characteristics. May the Lord Jesus be free to develop these seven things in our lives so that there will be unity within our families, unity at our workplaces, unity in all of our relationships, and unity in all that we do for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a simple Bible study this morning concerning unity. And we thank you, Father, that we see the greatest example of all in Jesus Christ, that he set aside himself for your glory. And we thank you for the example that he set for us to follow. But without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we cannot control that. And so we pray, Lord, that you would do a work in our lives, a work where we would even more so have unity in our lives. And humility would be there. So we love you and thank you, Lord. Keep everyone out there safe. Keep everyone close to you. Let this time be used in a powerful way for our lives, Lord. Let us not waste this time. Let us reach out and talk to people and share with people about Jesus Christ. We love you. Thank you for these wonderful people, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.